Hi, my name is Hartley Dagador, and you're listening to Wake Up with Wonder podcast, where my daddy shared with you the gift of wonder.
What's up to my returning wonders? It's an honor and a privilege to have you guys here. Thank you to my lovely daughter for that beautiful introduction. And if you're a new listener, just know that you were brought here on purpose. All of my friends and soul family out there, you guys are listening to the most wondrous podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and we're even on iHeartRadio. That's right, Wake Up with Wonder, the place where we help stressed out parents, lost souls, and stretched entrepreneurs awaken to the world of wonder all around them, and most importantly, to the wonders inside of you each and every single day. We give you the tools, the strategies, and the perspective shifts to flex your wonder muscle and to live wondrously. All of this from our very own experiences, as well as the experiences of our wonderful guests from all around the world. We cover topics like mental health, physical health, relationships, mindset, wealth, spirituality, and even social issues. Each week, we give to you some of the best advice and information in this universe. So subscribe now if you haven't already done so. And oh yeah, if you really find value in today's episode, go ahead and leave us a review. It's certainly appreciated. Your wondrous life begins now.
All right, wonders, welcome back. I am sitting here today, excited to bring you an interview episode. We have a guest interview. Before I give you the name of this guest, let me just say she is a dear friend. We've been friends since childhood, so I'm excited to have her here. And this friend is a spiritual business coach. So if anybody out there needs some spiritual business advice, definitely stay through till the very end. We're going to talk about the role healing plays in business. She's also a master Reiki practitioner, master Reiki healer. And her Reiki fire hands certainly are powerful. I've felt them, experienced them myself. And this person is also officially a podcaster. And I have the privilege of helping be part of her podcast launch strategy. So we're going to introduce the talented and smart Alyssa Barrios. Hi, Alyssa. Happy to have you here.
Hi, Jason. Thank you for that introduction.
Definitely. And first question, what's your favorite thing about being a healer?
My favorite thing about being a healer? Wow, there are so many things. I will probably say that my absolute most favorite thing about being a healer is witnessing the transformation without. Like the external transformations you start to see, because it's so true. When you do the work inwardly, you notice that your outside just begins to shift, whether it's witnessing the glow or the pure joy and bliss of your client, or maybe you're experiencing just the way you feel about others and you treat others, or the way even your loved ones start to show up. I always say that the healing is contagious. So I would definitely say the healing effect of what it does for others and what it does for your outside source. Because of course, inwardly, it's amazing, but that outside tangible result feels so, so incredible and really impactful. So yeah, great question.
Beautiful. I know what you mean. It's almost like it's one thing when we can turn the light on inside of us with the healing, but it's like another thing when you start seeing the lights like turn on and pop up all around you.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
So beautiful. And on the other side of that, what is probably the most challenging thing for you about being a healer?
The most challenging thing about being a healer is still doing the work for yourself. I think sometimes we believe we have to be perfect and have the certain amount of goals achieved before we can help others, or we believe that we may not even be good enough to be helping others because we still have our own things to be working through. And this journey is literally about deconstructing so much of what we've been taught, because a lot of the beliefs we've been taught have been limited based off of, you know, ancestral trauma, based off of trauma experiences, based off of many of our, I mean, thinking of America, many of us come from like migrated families. So resources were limited for families. So with limited resources, and that can create limited beliefs. So really doing the healing on myself has been a real big challenge, but luckily I have such a strong, tight-knit community of healers that I incorporate into my spiritual business program because I truly believe in the power of community. I mean, look at us, right? Like there's so much you've done for me and probably vice versa. And it's because of community, right? There's no agenda behind it, but just wanting to see one another really thriving and taking up space. So my healer community really reminds me of what's possible, such as like the peace and joy, but also reminds me that we're not always going to be feeling that joy and that constant excitement and that bliss of highness that we get from that healing, because it's finally like pure purity of happiness. Yes. But that doesn't mean it's always an infinite. There are those challenging days where you just want to rest, or you're just ascending and your body's so tired. And when you have that healer's community, some of us are thriving one day and we see others who are struggling a little bit. And that reminds you that it's okay that you're doing the same thing. And it doesn't mean that anything's wrong or broken with me. I have to remind myself that I'm still growing too. And it's about taking responsibility as a healer and acknowledging that you can fulfill your role and your purpose while still also growing yourself.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that. Great explanation. It was very clear. I definitely can relate. I had like this limiting beliefs around self-worth. And then I experienced like limiting beliefs around my physical capabilities, around my body, limiting beliefs around business, and then, you know, starting your own business. I know you've experienced that yourself. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then even limiting beliefs around like relationships and like family dynamics and like what that should look like. And I really like how you talked about ancestral like healing and like immigration. Like my family came over from South America, and I actually did the work, as you say, some ancestral healing on myself and on my family. And I'm going to share this because it was valuable to me. And I know that this gift that you gave me, this golden nugget, it's going to help somebody else. So I recall when I was doing the ancestral healing in the darkness, in the shadows, I think I shared with you at the time, and you said, it doesn't have to be dark. You told me all you have to do is ask your ancestors, ask your guardian angels, ask them for guidance and ask them to shine the light. And I kind of want to talk about that really quick, how we make healing be like seem so dark, and we make healing seem so lonely. And yes, it's doing the work, but we make it feel and seem like really, really challenging work. I think the biggest breakthrough in my healing journey was being able to reframe it from work to self-love. And then like even the ancestral healing, like that's work. But once I can see it as self-love, then it's like, okay, I'm doing this because I love my family. I love my lineage. I love like the future generations. So how do you feel about healing in terms of like defining it as work or defining it as self-love? Like, how do you relate to that?
Well, first off, thank you for sharing. That is beautiful. I love that reflection that you were able to create for yourself of, it doesn't have to be so dark all the time. And who said darkness actually was that bad, right? Like there is a balance of being able to see what you're capable of thinking and believing. And as human beings, we're powerful. Like we are capable of projecting dark and angry emotions, just as we're possibly projecting like happy and exciting emotions or action. So self-love, when it comes to the healing, again, it's such a challenge. And I'm so guilty of this. I can be very hard and critical on myself. And I didn't realize that by being critical and judgmental on myself, one, it is a learned behavior, and I get to decide differently. And it didn't really shift for me until I got really serious about my business, because I'm impeccable at what I do. I transform, I really help shift, right? And you mentioned what I shared with you about ancestral healing. Like, yeah, of course there are ancestors who carry this energetic frequency of traumas and pains that are unhealed. And that's what we're here doing, is healing those parts. But there are also tons of ancestors of ours that have been remarkably impactful in our family and our lineage, and who have really paved the way to be where we're at and have given us such powerful gifts and perspectives. And it's important that we do remember the power we have within. So when it comes to really reflecting on my own self-love and really having the discipline to take responsibility of my beliefs, yes, came from the business, came from what results am I achieving? Because it's not that I'm not good at what I do. I'm amazing at what I do. Similar to like you, like you're incredible at what you do. I took that work retreat with you, and the way you broke down MAP was just complete mind-blowing to me, because the way you described our thinking and our habits and what we desire was in a way that I've never seen done before. And it was in such a childlike way where it was able to be fun and creative. Like you talk about wonder, and that's exactly what you do in your creations and in your teachings and how you impact me. It's like really reminding me to be more expansive with my thinking. And when I am working in my business and I'm not achieving the result, I can't blame anyone, right? And that's exactly what the healing was for my self-love. I can't blame anyone for feeling neglected or feeling abandoned. I can't blame anyone for the toxic behavior I was engaging in, because I've definitely done that before. I blamed, well, this parent was an alcoholic or that friend was a bad influence, but it's like, when am I going to shift and take responsibility for myself? When can I bring in that self-love instead of going out? When can I start reflecting on what energy am I producing to receive that result? And it had to be failing over and over and over and over again, whether it was in relationships or whether it was in business, right? Like going through a 4-week launch and not signing any clients, like that's 4 weeks of trying to sell. And it's not that I'm not good at what I do. There's just something that needed healing within me. And when I finally shifted and started taking responsibility of like, okay, what energy am I giving out and why? That's really when the door to healing started opening up. So I would say the healing, again, like you mentioned, it can be really fun. And you didn't mention fun, but you did say it doesn't have to be so dark. It doesn't have to be. But again, it's that belief of like, what are we telling ourselves? And are we taking responsibility for this result? Are we taking responsibility for this belief? If we don't like the way we're feeling, how can we honor it and shift it? And I'm still learning. And I think it's an incredible journey of awareness, and it does take hard work, but it's liberating. It's liberating.
It is liberating. Yes. And I kind of want to talk a little bit more about light and dark, because I know that is one of your specialties and you can talk about that all day, I'm sure. So I'm under the belief, and I want to know where you stand with this, the further we go into the dark, like that power that we have, the further that we can experience our power in the light. So when I talk about my formula for wonder, wonder equals moments times space times feeling squared. A lot of people think feeling squared means that we have multiple feelings and we have different feelings, which it could be. But I like to think of feeling squared as like we have the light side of the feeling spectrum, and then we have the dark side of this feeling spectrum. And the more I can own in my power, and this might just be a guy thing, but the more I can own in my power of like how bad I hate someone, or like how much resentment I have towards someone, or how much guilt or shame or just whatever that dark feeling is, then I feel like the deeper I can go into the light, and like the more power is to be experienced there.
Oh, 100%. And the fact that you're able to acknowledge that dark as a way of freeing yourself and again, liberating yourself, like it doesn't have to be an entrapment and it doesn't have to be a shame originated with that feeling of, what were the words you mentioned that you experienced that you can help shine light? You mentioned anger, frustration.
In the New Earth retreat or? Yeah, anger, guilt, shame, yep, jealousy, envy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And what a beautiful opportunity to be exposed to those emotions, because those all lead to some type of result. If you're worried, for example, right? Like if I'm launching a podcast next week or Thursday.
Yeah.
if I'm launching a podcast and I'm worried about it, what type of energy am I going to give out to everyone? Or what type of energy am I going to create for that experience? It's going to be worry and it's going to be filled with limits, right? So if I was to acknowledge, okay, worry is coming up, how can I bring light into that? Well, let me dig into truth, because that's really what I believe light is truth. How can I bring truth into that? Because then if you think about dark, that's isolation, right? Like if you want to isolate that feeling, if you want to avoid that feeling, if you want to keep it secret, it's only going to flourish into something that is pretty destructive, right? And we can go into spiritual language of the enemy loves isolation. Like the enemy loves when people are isolated and feeling alone. And you can look at isolation as a way to tap into the light, right? And when you're able to, whether you're tapping into feeling that connection of source, or maybe reaching out to a friend or asking for support, that's really the best way to just continue to shift whatever darkness is coming up into a light experience, if that's what you want, you know, and who doesn't want that?
Right. And I think, like you said, being mindful of it and acknowledging it, but not getting caught in like the negative and in beating ourselves up about it. It's easy to do that, but that's part of the healer's journey, and the healing journey is to see that and create the space for the light. We have to really create the space consciously. So your spiritual business program, how long has it been officially like a thing now?
Started in July of 2020, a few months into the global pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah. And you are definitely becoming more proficient and even better at it every time you launch it, to the point now where you're launching a new business program and you're launching a podcast at the same time. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I was just asked to be featured. I haven't told anyone this yet, but I was asked to be featured as one of the top 10 spiritual coaches of 2021. So peep out for that March 23rd. It's happening quick, you know?
That's awesome. Is that like a Yahoo article or?
It was, you know, it was a PR company reaching out to me, and they, you know, they offered me an invitation, and I was a little skeptical at first. I was like, you know, because being reached out online, you think like, is this a marketing scheme or not? But, right. You know, the more research I did, I was like, this is huge. Like, let me actually receive, you know, and then that goes into a trauma response of my darkness. Like, wait, is someone trying to get advantage of me? Like, you know, but I was like, wait, let me tap in and actually receive this. And I'm so honored. So that will be published.
That's beautiful. Well, congratulations. You've certainly come a long way since last July. And I'm curious, because I do see myself leaving my current employment position here in the future, before the end of the year for sure. And I've been building out my coaching program and working through all the fears that come along with that, you know, quitting your job and starting your own business. And since you've already done it, I would love to ask you, what was your biggest fear when you made that jump, when you quit? Now, you quit in the middle of a master's program, right? In the middle of your degree? Yeah. And you were also a teacher.
I was a full-time elementary school teacher for fourth grade in East LA. Yes, I tried actually leaving for spring break, but luckily the principal convinced me to stay and fulfill my commitment to the kids, which I'm really grateful for. And up until then, I did struggle with commitment. So I think that was one of my fears of running this business. Will I be committed to it? Will I throw away my career, invest all this money, and remain committed to it? What if I want to quit it? And what if I want to quit and get bored with it within a year or two?
Right. You know? It's part of the fun though, right? Like what's going to happen next year?
And that didn't happen at all. It's the vision just gets bigger. So I'm excited for you, because it doesn't get, I wouldn't say it might get easier. I'm not at that point yet. I'm still like, okay, we got some leveling up to do. I have some fears to face. I have some blockages to move out of the way. I have some beliefs I need to deconstruct and ingrain into my subconscious. So I haven't gotten to the place where I'm like, oh, that's easy now. I'm still becoming the master of this, but the vision remains bigger. And it always, always, always works itself out, especially when you think you're just going to completely crash and never get back up. A miracle happens. So I'm really excited for you. It's it needs to be a band-aid that just gets ripped off and go for it, because that's where all the magic really comes from.
Definitely. I do want to keep, I'm kind of the opposite of you. I really try to keep my commitments. I want to keep my commitment to this master's degree that I've started. And that's why I'm sticking it out. I'm like literally one class away. I'm like so close, but it's getting harder the closer you get, for sure.
So proud of you. You've been going through, I remember you mentioning this master's program and we were both talking about it too at the same time. And you actually inspired me. I'm actually going back and I have three more classes left and I'm restarting it up in April. Cause you're right. I mean, if we started it, why not complete it? You know, like what do I want to be remembered as, you know, yeah. In 3 to 5 years?
Like you'll be the chick with the masters instead of being the spiritual chick without the masters.
Thank you. And a lot more debt, but you know what? I'll have that masters.
Beautiful. So let's transition the healing from the business side of things and let's transition it into the family. And you said that in doing the healing work and the self-love on yourself, you've kind of seen the light turn on in the world around you and you've seen your family start to show up differently and light up. And has it actually like deepened your guys' relationships with your family?
100%. 100%. Completely. And in so many ways.
Has it restored any relationships like that were broken?
Yeah. Relationships I didn't even realize needed restoring. You know, relationships that I was like, oh, it's always going to be this way. It's always going to be tense. There's always going to be friction. There's always going to be judgment. There's always going to be disagreeing. We're just different people. We're never going to understand each other. But that was a limiting belief. And I'm noticing relationships really flourishing. That's and healing. Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in the context of like a partnership, like a spouse, I've always heard people say, you know, in order for the relationship to be successful and thrive, like both people have to be really committed to their healing and kind of growing and healing together along this path. But you're saying that you had relationships restored in your family. Were the other people, were they necessarily like committed to their healing, or was it just like a reflection of the work that you were solely doing on yourself?
It must be a projection of what I'm doing on myself. And it's interesting that you mentioned spouse, because when I went deep into my healing journey and became invested, fully committed into my healer's business, the partner I was with at the time went through like a mass destruction of self. And it must have been, and now I'm thinking of it as in, okay, well, if that was a projection of me, I must have been going through my own destruction of self. And in the process, it completely destructed what we had together. And when I look at what we had together, it actually was more of a dark trauma bonding relationship. And I'm grateful because I'm not sure where that person is now, but I do know for myself that the amount of growth has been so foundational, where I'll never go back to someone that I once was, which wasn't pretty. Like a lot of substance abuse, a lot of just irresponsibility and a lack mindset and a destructive mindset, where now I'm seeing that projected with those around me. So by working on myself and really not judging myself, but also releasing judgment on others, right? And when I stopped criticizing myself and I stopped judging myself, I noticed the relationships around me getting even stronger or more distance with some others, because you can't change everyone, right? It just, you know, it's interesting, the dynamics of relationships, but it's mostly comes from like the relationship you have with yourself. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, 100%. Well, not 100%, but it did for the most part. I was just wondering, like, when you say you restore relationships, was it like parents, or was it like uncles, aunts, was it cousins, brothers? Like who did you restore these relationships with? And then the question was that person like specifically working on their healing, or was it like literally just the light that you had shining, it kind of was just rubbing off on them as well?
Wow, Jason, you're getting real personal here.
I'm sorry. You don't have to drop a name. You can just say it was like an extended family member, or it was like a first close family member. But I'm interested.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I appreciate that, you know, and I think it's fair to talk about this experience because, you know, whoever's listening to it will receive. But I will be honest, the relationship that I'm having with my mother is one that I never thought I'd ever receive. And the reason why is because I always had this concern that I wasn't making her proud. I wasn't pleasing her, which made me feel that I wasn't good enough. And when I finally committed to my business, to my healing, I was becoming this incredible woman who was believing in herself, who was no longer in destructive habits because I was starting to value myself. However, in the process of this, it was concerning to my mother because I wasn't having a full-time job where I was getting the structured paychecks, or I wasn't getting that promised pension, or I wasn't being promised the medical insurance, right? So there were concerns, very valid.
Right.
But in the process of building a business, we don't have time for their fears. We don't have time for fears because we're already facing our own risks, right? We're already taking risks in our business. So there was a lot of tension between us. But to be fair, there was already tension growing up, right? And again, probably projections of my own self of what I was experiencing or what I felt I was missing out on when it comes to like emotional stability or safety, because, you know, many childhood homes weren't perfect. I think our generation really is exposing a lot of the darkness that our families exposed us to. And in the process of that, we bring truth to dark, right? And it's not shaming anyone, right? Like you mentioned, the worry, the guilt, the shame, the fear, the anger. I had to go through all of those to get to where I'm at now. But it was a reminder of, I'm feeling this shame, but why? How can I reshift that? Right. And so then the process of me doing the work on myself, the way I started showing up was just becoming more important than the number of my bank account. It was becoming more important than the title of my career. It was becoming more important than anything external. So by witnessing this woman that I am now, I believe that my mother, and again, it could be a projection of myself, finally feeling confident in myself, feeling worthy of myself, feeling confident of myself, and feeling like I do have a purpose to make impact. Well, that's how she's starting to see me now. And it's a way that I've just mentioned this to one of my best friends, like the way she loves me and like will check in on me. It's so authentic and genuine. And it's to the point where it's like, I actually, and I've never really heard this from her, I believe in you. You're going to do this. You are impacting lives. And that was something that was so not really heard from her.
Right.
So that is the relationship that I'm really noticing mending.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. It's exciting to hear that your mother went from, it sounds like one of your biggest doubters and like worriers to almost like your biggest supporter and biggest fan. So that's beautiful. And I think that really showcases like the power that you carry inside of you as a healer, which I think that is really exciting because you're launching the podcast called She Who Heals. So it just sounds very like synchronous and just like very much in alignment. So everybody that's listening, definitely check out the podcast that Alyssa Blanco is launching this Thursday. It's March 11th, I believe.
Did you call me Alyssa Blanco?
Oh my gosh. Sorry, Alyssa Barrios. Slip of the mind. Oh my God.
We have to talk about her now because she came up.
That's hilarious. Oh my goodness. But yeah, so March, is it 11th or what day is it that you're launching on?
March 11th on Thursday, She Who Heals will be launched by Alyssa K. Barrios.
Alyssa K. Barrios. Don't forget the K. Beautiful, beautiful. So moving forward with this discussion about healing, we kind of talked about how it started with you and it went into your closest family, your mother, and you don't have any kids, so I can't necessarily talk about how it shows up in the home with kids, but when you were an elementary school teacher, were you into healing at all or not yet?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So was it, how was it showing up in the classroom? Like, how was it affecting those kids?
Oh my goodness. I have not talked about this yet, but I just reflected on this very recently. It actually was a reason why I left the education, and it wasn't because, okay, let me just be completely honest here. And I don't want to step on any toes, but also it's my truth and I'm allowed to speak my truth. and I'm open to growing and being expansive. But when I was at the school, it was so stressful. It was so stressful. We just were so hard on the kids to be academically at a certain level. And the reasoning behind it, I understand. I did understand we were in a more socioeconomically under-resourced community. So academics was huge for them because we wanted them to have a promised future of education. And college was talked about the moment these kids were in kindergarten, right? Like the classrooms were all college-based classrooms. Amazing, amazing. I completely understand. However, as a healer, it was hard for me to be in alignment with that mission because I really, really believe the way you think, the way you believe in yourself, the way you are encouraged is much more important than an academic number. So it was so hard for me to focus so much on pushing these kids academically. And then also being a teacher, I was just feeling so out of alignment where it's like working these crazy amount of hours and then having Sundays unofficially to prepare for the week where it was like, where am I going to be taken care of? How can I even take care of myself? And it was to a point where I was so, so sick where I'd have to take days off, but then I felt guilty for taking days off. So it was just this vicious cycle of pushing for academic numbers because of worry, right? Worried we weren't, these kids weren't going to have a successful future if they didn't have specific grades. Worried that the school was going to be labeled, however it'd be labeled in the, by the district, right? And it was just so worry based. So that's where I really was like, this isn't in alignment with me. And I can't keep pushing these kids through this worry when that's not what I believe as a human in my own energy, right? Like I'm a different type of energy. I have to be that loving peace, right? And right. That's just my role. So that's really how the healing shifted into my journey as a teacher. But I've been healing, I say all my life, but I've really been committed since 2016, and I was teaching in what, 18? 17?
So, yeah. So you were teaching a few years, or you were healing a few years already. Mm-hmm. And so you, did you bring that like peaceful, loving energy into the classroom as much as possible then? Or were you kind of like feeding into that worry that they had?
I did at the beginning, but then my not self theme, like if you know Avery and her human design readings, a lot of my anger was starting to come out. And that's when I knew I'm not here to teach. I can't teach these kids because I'm becoming this darker energy. And it's hard for me to bring in my light. It was really hard for me to bring in my light because I wasn't in alignment. So at the beginning, yes. Or if I was walking the hallways, the light would shine. But when it came to like extended amount of times, you know, when you're not in alignment in the job and you're just going there because you're told you have to be there, you're actually doing a disservice to those around you. You know,
I feel that I'm doing that right now as we speak at my work.
Yeah.
In terms of these children, first off, thank you so much for sharing your truth and being vulnerable and honest. It actually brought me insight and a golden nugget in terms of my relationship with my daughter. So today I got a call from Hartley School. It was the teacher just saying how she needs to be more accountable and responsible for her work. And she, so they do like GG puzzles. It's like ST math. And they're supposed to hit like, I think it's 120 minutes a week or something and like a certain amount of puzzles. So she's been hitting her time, but she just sits there and doesn't do anything. So she's not hitting the actual puzzles. Mm. But in what you were saying, I was able to quickly reflect and see how, when I went to my undergrad, my bachelor's, my worth was tied to college and my worth was tied to getting good grades and my worth was tied to, you know, being successful in school and having education. But in my master's, it's like totally opposite. Like my worth isn't tied to the school. My worth isn't tied to my grades. Like, yeah, I'm getting straight A's, but if I got a C, like I wouldn't care. Like that's, it is what it is, you know? My worth is tied to really the results from the master's, to like the way the master's allows me to actually create and build this healing business, to because it's a master's in business entrepreneurship, and the way the master's allows me to help more people at a scaled level So thank you for bringing that up, because it reminded me that when I check in with my daughter after today's conversation, I need to, you know, ensure, and I think this is important for any parents listening, I need to ensure that their worth or her worth is not tied into those grades or to those minutes behind the computer or to the number of puzzles completed, but rather their worth is tied into, like, am I actually understanding this? Am I applying this? You know, how is this impacting me, and how am I growing as a person? I think it's so much more important. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course. And thank you for sharing that too. I mean, it's so important that we, and again, I give it up to teachers so much, but that, like, we're giving the kids space to express themselves, right? And even as an adult, I think about, you mentioned spouses and relationships, like, I am going through my own journey of understanding how to share my needs. You know, it's like, am I allowed to have this need? Is this need going to make me look like I'm doing things wrong? Or is this need going to get me in trouble? Right? Is this need that I want to speak on going to get me a consequence? You know, so it's like, for our kids, like, I could only imagine if there's a disconnect that she's feeling from her assignment, like, I don't blame her, right? Like, we all need that reminder of, like, come on, let's, how can we motivate you? What can we do to inspire you? Do you need a break? Do you need maybe a more challenging assignment? And it's like, how are we giving our kids space to, like, speak on their needs? Because even as an adult, I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah. Well, you know how kids inherit, like, their parents' qualities. So I think she's inherited, like, a little bit of the reflector from me, in the sense that I thrive off of, like, face-to-face connection interaction. Like, Zoom doesn't really do it for me. But her, like, I noticed when she went from in the classroom to online virtual school, like, everything just started kind of declining and going downhill. And I did see the disconnect. So I'm going to focus on creating that connection, because that is a need. So thank you for expressing needs.
Yeah, of course. Wow. So,
it's a little heavy, just a little.
Yeah. Just being an adult during this pandemic, I'm like, oh, the kids.
Right. Do you ever see yourself possibly opening up, like, maybe a healing school for kids, or like some type of a healing practice or program for, like, children, or even maybe family, like the family unit?
Yeah, why not? Why not? I definitely feel childlike energy in my space. Definitely, definitely. And, you know, I was just talking to my business mentor right now, and we create limits on ourselves. So the more I just continue to deconstruct any limited beliefs I have, my visions just get even more expansive. And I was offered an opportunity to create a entrepreneur course for a continuation school recently when I first started opening my business, which was perfect timing because I didn't have many clients at the time. And I had just created this spiritual business program. So I was able to incorporate the spiritual business program into the entrepreneur course for these kids who were technically at risk. They were struggling in public school, regular school. They just needed more smaller classroom sizes and a more unique curriculum for themselves and their needs. Again, kids need needs. There's no consequence to meeting needs, but whatever. It's a whole other topic. But I've always loved working with kids so much, especially the kids that were seen as the quote unquote bad kids or the ones in need of healing, because as a healer, and it's also in my astrological chart, my Venus is in one of the houses where my love is all about service. So that's really, and my love language is acts of service. So it's like serving and helping others is how I love. And yeah, for sure. I can totally see that at some point. You know, it's about dreaming bigger, deconstructing those beliefs and knowing that where you are right now is going to be so expansive by next year. Right? Like, I don't know, I have a podcast launch, be featured in Yahoo. And like, I would have never thought that March.
In like less than a year, like just a short few months.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Yeah. So what inspired the podcast?
God. Literally.
God.
God in me. God is me. I am God. God. Well, not I am God, but God within me. I asked, I was like, how can I make more of an impact? I have so much golden nugget, like you've been saying. I love that, by the way. And I kept hearing free content, like just get your stories, get your words, get them out. Doesn't have to be perfect, right? So that was my 2021 question. How can I reach a bigger impact? How can I make more impact? And it's just one little checkbox I have to get off of my to-do list. I know I'm supposed to be writing a book, creating the podcast, and I could be making it more of like a lavish launch, right? Again, limiting belief. It is going to be lavish. It is going to be beautiful, but I'm just like, let's go. Like, let's get this going. Let's launch it. So that's really why it was just, I have a lot that I need to be sharing and there's no more hiding. There's no more hiding. It's time to just share it and speak it and then go on to the next project.
Like, podcast is a great place to share your truth and be vulnerable and honest. So I'm excited to see how like your throat chakra and just like your authentic self is going to open up and continue to show up even more as a result of the podcast. So can't wait.
I have a lot of respect for podcasters. It's hard work.
It's not as easy as it looks or sounds, huh?
No.
Yeah. No. So let's see. I kind of want to circle back. Oh, I just lost my thought. Okay. For anyone who doesn't know where to start with healing and they're in like, maybe healing sounds dark to them or feels dark to them, like we talked about, where would you suggest that they start for self-healing?
Yeah. Well, first, acknowledging you need help, right? Acknowledging you need help. And then that's deciding like you're open to universe to provide you some experience, some human guidance through the journey. That's exactly what I needed. Literally. I was like, oh, I need help. And when knowing that you've asked and you are open to that, well, when you see someone and you are feeling good around someone's energy and it's their service, right? Like, for example, you see an EFT coach online, such as Jasmine Brahmi, or you see me talking about Reiki, or you see you, Jason, talking about your Reiki. Like, if you connect with them, reach out to them. Hey, what do you offer? You know, it's like taking responsibility and also knowing when something's being presented to you and continuously taking the step by step. So I think that's really important. I think sometimes we wait for the invitation. And again, I'm a manifestor, I'm not a projector. And I know waiting for the invitation is helpful, but I've had projectors come to me and say, can you help me? And it's really about just taking responsibility and knowing that you don't have to do it alone. We're actually not here to heal on our own. We're really not here to heal on our own. The only thing we can do on our own is identify, right? Or decide, right? Like, I can't decide for you based on what you need to do. You have to do that, but I will support you through your journey. And that's how we become even more expansive, is through the community support. So if you're new to the healing journey, again, just knowing like, I need help. I'm doing the same thing over and over again. I'm in this destructive patterns. I'm hurting loved ones. I'm not feeling good way too often. Like, that's not normal. Like, our body shouldn't hurt. Like, that's not, I wouldn't believe that pain is normal. I think pain is a sign that something is in need of love and care. Taking a step by step.
And I think, speaking of pain, I think that's a great way to kind of be mindful of like when we may need some healing. So it is one thing to acknowledge it, but sometimes we can't even acknowledge it because we're not seeing the signs. So an example for myself, when I started my healing journey a couple of years ago, I was having really bad hip pains, to the point where I was out of work on disability, to the point where I was like limping around. I couldn't sit still for more than like 5 minutes. Like, I would have to shift positions constantly. And I acknowledged that there was pain and I like suck out help, like you said, but I didn't see the signs that, you know, as healers, we know that we lead with our hips. Like, when we walk around in society, we do, like, a lot of people think we lead with our shoulders, but we don't. We walk with our hips upright. So for me, I was not willing to let go and like be accepting of change. So my inability to accept change actually created some darkness in my life. And then it led to these manifested pains in my body. And it could be other pains. It could be shoulder pains. If someone's carrying a lot of tension and a lot of stress in their life, and they're not willing to let go of like this stress and tension, and they're just putting the weight of the world on their shoulders, then they are going to show up with like hunched shoulders or just a really like out of nowhere shoulder pain. So I encourage anyone who's listening to be mindful of those body pains, and don't be afraid to like either Google them or reach out. Like you said, if you feel a healer that you're connected to, like ask them like, hey, I'm having this random back pain, or I'm having this random knee pain. Like, what might this mean? And back to what you said, seeking and asking.
And something you mentioned too, it's like, even just slowing down, right? Like taking a pause. And if you're noticing discomfort, or you're noticing, yeah, we'll just say discomfort, like slowing down and just checking in with your hip, like, what do you need right now? Right. And I don't know about you, but did you feel like do you check in with your body right now? Like, do you check in? I know you meditate, right? Do you check in and say like, hey, lower back, like, how are you feeling today? I feel like my body talks to me. My body will say, slow down, or be nice to me, or go move me, or move me, but slowly, right? And then you start to just create this unhealed ego relationship with yourself of like, I have to be the one deciding everything for me. Well, yeah, of course, but also you have a physical body that will speak to you and will share with you what's going on. And that's why meditation is so important. It calms down the unhealed ego, so you can start tapping into your more expansive way of being and living. So I was asking you a question and then answering it at the same time.
No, that was a powerful share though. I think for anyone who doesn't know where to start, like you said, asking for help, reaching out, but also just slowing down. And you asked me if I check in with my body. That was the question you asked. So I check in with my inner child like every single day, because little Jason needs a lot of love. But I don't check on my body as much as I should. I was reflecting while you asked it, and I realized that because I'm in that, you know, that 9-to-5, that employee trap right now, and I'm working to get out of it, I don't check in with my body during the week, like the days that I have to go to work, because the story that there's not enough time, or that even if my body needed something, like I still have to push through and I still have to go do whatever I have to do that day. So when I do check in with my body, it's only on the weekends. And then I find a lot of times I'm kind of like rushing the process, like whatever my body does need. If my body needs to relax for a day, if my body needs to be in nature for a day, like sometimes I just need to be in the beach and feel the waves rinsing me clean. But because it's in a 2-day span opposed to like a normal everyday thing, then I'm rushing the time that I'm in the ocean, and I'm rushing my healing in a sense. Mm-hmm. So that's not healthy, but I'm saying that so that whoever's listening, if they do check in with their body, they can also be mindful to make it a regular thing and not just like a weekend thing, because it is detrimental to our healing for sure.
Definitely. Our body is so, so important, so important. And it's so much more powerful and more honest than I think we really give it credit for, you know? Just, and even as a woman, I mean, for owning a business, being successful, and being always complimented on just being a beautiful woman, like there's so much self-doubt I still even have about my body. And that can really interfere in all parts of our lives, whether it's our business, our relationships, the way we see money, the way we envision our future, right? You asked me about if I will open up a school, a healing school. It's like, if I can't even talk about my body nicely, there's no way I'm going to have nice dreams or like have these crazy visions for myself, you know? And it's like, yeah, our physical body, so many answers can be found within that space.
Now, are you one to like reflect in journals a lot, or do you just like to actually sit and just kind of be still and like reflect in your own self and your own being?
I go through seasons where I'll journal pages a day, or I won't at all. And the more I journal, the better I feel. So yeah, I journal for sure.
What would you say are some benefits of journaling for you? Because I really believe in journaling. I call it my secret sauce.
Right. It's your like non-judgmental space. And it's also a space for you to be honest about what's really going on within, and then being able to read it out loud and being like, that is not my truth. Like, I need to rewrite that. I need to recreate that. And I always see my journals as one day being published, right? Like I read Anne Frank's diary almost every year for her birthday, and just reading the thoughts that this young woman created. And it's like, we also all have so many stories to share with one another. So sometimes I'll just write and then I'll even go back to my journals and I'll read them from a year ago. And I'm like, wow. Again, this confidence thing. I'm being really vulnerable about my places I'm working on. I'll read to my journals and I'm like, oh my goodness, Alyssa, what? You had that much doubt? Like I thought you were thriving, you know? And it's like your journal is a place where you can be as honest and raw as possible. And I always recommend to people, like, try to definitely journal and then go back a year ago and read what you were writing, because we've really come so far. And it's also a beautiful reminder of taking responsibility of what we're capable of and what thoughts we're capable of having and what ideas we want to create. What do you journal? What do you notice yourself journaling on? When do you journal? Do you have like a time during the day?
So I journal first thing in the morning when I wake up. When I journal, I like to tackle like emotional triggers. I like to literally attack my triggers in my journal. So sometimes I'll catch myself like journaling out of scarcity. Like if I get triggered during the day, then I'll like have to stop what I'm doing in order to journal and like clear my head and get a new perspective. Otherwise I'll push it off till the next morning, but then I'd like sleep very restlessly. And I wake up in that scarcity state, like I have to journal. So like, even like right now, tonight, after this call, I'm going to journal because I've been needing to journal all day and I don't want to wake up feeling like in scarcity. I want to go to sleep peaceful. But what do I journal? I have three different journals that I use. So I have, they're all just simple prompts. I have an anger journal, or like I call it the negative experiences of wonder. So when something hits you hard and you get caught like wondering and you're just like, what the fuck happened? Or like, why am I so angry? Like, why would they do that? Then I journal through that. And a couple of the questions in there are like, if you could say anything to this person right now, like what would you scream at them? And to me, that's, yeah, it's going into the darkness. It's getting all the darkness out. And like you said, it's a safe space. So I can be as raw and as vulnerable and as real as I need to be. And then on the back end of that question, it says, okay, what do you really want for this person right now? So it's like, holy crap. Like, I just wanted to beat this person up. I just wanted to like, I don't know, like make this person's life miserable. I just wanted to like do something horrible. But now like you're forcing me to ask myself like, okay, what do I want for them? Like what's something good that I want for them? You know what I'm saying? And I feel like the further I can go into and own like all the horrible things I want them to experience or I want to happen to them based on the situation, then the further I can go into like, okay, this is the amazing things I want them to experience. Like no matter what happened between us, I do want this good thing for them. So that's powerful. Yeah. And the other one, I call it the positive experience of wonder journal. And the way that one works is it's a way to find what you're grateful for, but not just find it, to take action on it. So a lot of times people wake up and we write down, do you do a gratitude list in the morning?
No, I'll be honest. No. Okay. I don't do a gratitude list where I write it down, but I'll speak it out loud, like first thing in the morning. Because if I don't, oh man, darkness can come in. Like the first thing in the morning, I'm like, God, thank you for waking me up. And then I go through it. That's like how I wake up. But no, I don't write it.
I would say definitely write it down. There's something about like actually putting it down and like manifest it. It creates a sense of confidence. And then like you do it every single day. Last night I had a client, I did a Reiki session. And what I heard for this person at the end of the Reiki session, because they were trying to cultivate daily habits, but also I sensed that they were out of alignment in between their mind and their soul and their heart. Like they just were not in integrity. So I actually tasked them to, when they wake up, like you said, you ask yourself what you're grateful for, but mm-hmm. I told them to specifically ask like, what is my mind grateful for today? What is my heart grateful for today? And then what is my body grateful for today? And what is my soul grateful for today? Just so that. Yeah. And whether they're all the same or they're all different, it doesn't matter, because it's bringing your whole entire being into alignment. And like you're checking in with all the different parts of yourself, like you said.
Wow.
Yeah.
So powerful.
So powerful. I was going to suggest maybe that would be a simple exercise when you wake up to do. Mm-hmm. But then the point of the gratitude journal is that you get really clear on this trigger, this story. And that's another thing. People, we think that triggers are only bad. Like we associate triggers with guns. So then automatically it has to be this horrible thing that's like just fucking up your whole day. Excuse my language. But triggers can actually be really amazing, and they can make you want to take good positive actions. But I found with myself, because I'm a giver, I love to like give gifts. I think I gave you a couple of gifts for your birthday and whatnot. But like sometimes the gift isn't really what I want to give that person. Like I want to give them love. I want to give them a blessing. It doesn't have to be this big expensive gift. So doing this gratitude journal, this positive moment of wonder, it allows me to get clear on what I really want them to receive and experience. And it allows me to like take action. Maybe it's just a love letter. Maybe it's a simple post-it note. Maybe it's a Starbucks drink, you know, something small. It doesn't have to be anything big. Whereas before I was like, I was actually self-sabotaging by like buying people expensive gifts that I probably couldn't afford, or like gifting my time, like when my time was extremely valuable, probably more valuable than the gifts that I was given. So yeah, it just helps me to be clear on those triggers and like make the best of those positive triggers for sure.
Your journaling is so intentional. I think that's so important for many of us, especially, I mean, it doesn't matter what season of the journaling or journaling healing we're in, but I think I'm really inspired by, and I've always been inspired by your intentional action and your intentional creation, because it is so digestible for people. And this could be my manifestor in me, who's very like vision orientated. So I have to really focus on limiting beliefs and focus on that vision. But when I listen to you sharing your journaling and the way you continue to reflect on yourself and how you manage your triggers and your emotions, it's just so powerful to see. And that's why I love the business that I'm in, because there are beings like yourself who are so needed in this world. So, so needed. And you've mentioned your you mentioned being a man and your role in, or your the way you show up could be differently, the way you said, because you're a man. And I think it's so important that men really are stepping up into their healing journeys and supporting one another, because I'll be honest, I mean, many of my women clients and my women coaches, like we really connect with one another, you know, and I just feel for men to be able to have that safe space. Have you had men healing coaches?
I had my current coach is a man, but he's not a healing coach per se. He's just a personal development coach. And my last coach, he was a man and he was also personal development, but I feel like he was a healing coach and he didn't know it, if that makes sense. Like his wife was a master Reiki healer, a holy fire. And I got like a very pure healing vibe from him. But I just, I feel like people, we don't know when we're actually like, we're called to be a healer. A lot of us don't know.
So. And that's why She Who Heals is, it's the first episode. What is a healer?
Okay. So
is a healer.
Can you give us a little preview? What is a healer? Quick definition.
So I really say like healers are here to one, use their God-given gifts. So their source created gift, what they know that is their superpower. Healers, we're very truthful. We don't really know how to lie. Like we're very honest and truthful, which is great, but also can be triggering, like you mentioned, right? But it's also there to expose a part of us that wants to be hidden, and nothing thrives in hiding except destruction. And then lastly, a healer is someone whose superpower is like being very empathic, right? Like we understand energy. We know it's there. We know it exists. And the reason why we understand it and we're given that gift of feeling it so, so deeply is because it matters. The energy matters, right? Like when you walk into a room, many healers, when they walk into a room, they have this bright light or they just have this energy about them. Like you as a healer, like I'm sure you've probably walked into places and people are like, Jason, you carry like this, like positive energy or this really inspiring space or the safe space. And we forget that after all, many of the healers I've worked with or have came to me asking for guidance and mentorship, we think that everyone is built this way. And I'm like, no. Healers have gifts that not everyone has. And we really need healers to step into this space and into the role, because there's a reason why they've been gifted these gifts. There's a reason why they feel energy. There's a reason why they're so truthful and they're exposing of darkness, right? Because we can bring more light into spaces. So that's as much as I'll share with you. I'll also share one more thing is we are in a very profound time in human history. We were actually in this energy that we're in now. It was back in the 1960s. And I mentioned it in my podcast of what was going on. And it's just a really, really, really pivotal time for humanity to take a big step forward in an expansive direction. And we become really expansive when we take responsibility. So as healers, we again support one another because humans, we expand and grow in community with help from other humans. So with healers who are so tapped into their source and tapped into God, their higher selves, they're able to hold that space for others to tap in. So this is like prime time for healers.
I love so much that you talk about expansion. That's actually the first week in my Mind Accelerator pod course. We talk about the three types of expansion. Are you familiar with the three types of expansion?
No, share. Let's go.
So there's expansion, as we know, and then compound expansion, which is just consistent daily actions repeated over and over that build up. And then my favorite is quantum expansion. And then quantum expansion is just when we can put ourselves, when we can connect to like the final end of a spectrum or like the final end of whatever stage we're in our life. And the only way we can connect to that version of ourselves is through time or experience. And as healers, we choose the experience route. Like 90% of the time, we either journal or put ourselves in these containers where we have these experiences at a higher rate, at a faster rate. And it just accelerates our growth. So that's the idea of the Mind Accelerator Pod.
I love that. And quantum really makes me feel like limitless, right? Like the possibilities are limitless. And when you mentioned time and being expansive, like tapping into that higher self is so important, right? Because like our subconscious is constantly being created, but our subconscious has to be tapped into the higher self because, well, our unconscious. Okay, I'm going to start getting into all these different minds. But I mean, that unconscious is like thriving and it's trying to soak in, but we have to tap into that higher self, which I don't know about you, but I feel like my higher self is always a goal of mine, right? Because, and this could be a limited belief that I really need to, again, dissect. I felt really healed by you, Jason. You're bringing out so much of my truth that I don't really talk to people about.
I love it.
But I love that you mentioned time because I really feel that it's important as we connect deeper to our higher self. I think time could be really, really important in the healing journey and creating big visions for ourselves.
Beautiful. And speaking of higher self, everyone that's listening, if you missed last week's podcast episode, I did release my special higher self guided recording, guided meditation. So I think you've heard it, Alyssa, the golden fire one. So Everyone check it out. It's really powerful. And a shout out to Eric McKee for helping me produce that. It was super awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I just have, I think, two more questions for you as we wrap up. First question, since we're talking about overcoming limiting beliefs, what is one of your favorite ways to help people overcome limiting beliefs?
One of my favorite ways to help someone overcome limiting beliefs is by giving an example of my limiting belief. So an example of a limiting belief that I had to overcome was I have to be healed before stepping into a relationship. And that was so limiting because when an incredible partner presented themselves, I was like, no, I'm not ready. But I started tapping into my higher self and I started creating this new mindset of I can grow, I can heal, I can create a business and I can build a relationship. Like I can do all those if I believe so. I'm in the process of this new partnership. I've literally been opening my heart so expansively in an unknown way. Cause this is actually like a very, very healthy new relationship that I'm not really used to. And that's a whole other topic. However, love is healing. And I didn't know that. I thought love was scary. I thought relationships were like terrifying. I even had to have the, so what are we talk, right? And like, why was I showing up with so much fear? I don't know. I was just fearing rejection. I was fearing the unknown. I was fearing being vulnerable, right? Fearing all these things. But then I realized, what if it's exciting? What if it can be exciting? What if it can be in alignment? What if it can be expansive? Right? Like, why am I limiting myself to this like fear? So I think a way to really help others overcome limiting beliefs is to one, identify when I hear it. So if I hear a client saying a limiting belief, I can ask them about it. And then give me a real life example, because I think we really resonate when we can give each other examples of what we've experienced, because we can all claim these theories, these beliefs, these thoughts, but if we're not living in what we're teaching and we're not showing what's been possible in our lives, I mean, what credibility do we really have, right? Like, I can't tell you or any of my clients, open up a full-time healing business if I don't have one, you know, like there has to be a level of credibility. So that would be my example, or my favorite way is sharing my limiting beliefs and how they've been so expansive once I've deconstructed them.
That's beautiful. So really leading from what you've already lived and just being vulnerable with your experiences. That's huge. And that's what I like to do, is to the best of my ability, lead from what I've lived. And if I haven't lived it, if I haven't done it, I'm not going to talk about it or do it, because like, why? It's just being fake. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I struggle with so much in my business, is that I'm helping people who want to have businesses. I'm helping them grow their business and be successful, similar to how you are. Just I think I'm like, not a step below you in terms of worth, but a step below you in terms of like our target audience. Like, I think I'm the pre-entrepreneur and you're like helping an entrepreneur. However, still being at a full-time job, like there's definitely a limiting belief, but I have my plan, and I am taking action, and I'm only at this job because of the commitment for the master's degree. So I have to remind myself of that, you know.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And I definitely don't see you as a pre-entrepreneur. I see you as an entrepreneur. I totally see you as an entrepreneur who's believing in his gifts. And this journey is not easy. And that's why not everyone is an entrepreneur. That's why we really have to do the work on ourselves to become limitless. And I really admire you for the responsibilities that you are committed to and the role that you have, but your commitment to remaining an entrepreneur. So, I mean, I definitely would not agree or see you as a pre-entrepreneur. I see you as full throttle, fully in this journey with us. Like,
yes, no, I see myself as an entrepreneur. I think I was saying that I'm helping pre-entrepreneurs. But one phrase that, which you just reminded me of it, cause you said commitment, the way you said it, it just like popped in my head. And this is something that I really try to live by. You are your commitment. Like, so you're not the results, like you are the commitment. Like if you said the first 3 or 4 months of your spiritual business program, you didn't have any clients, you didn't really have any enrollments, but just because you didn't have that, you were still a business owner. You still had a program and you were still committed to that. So you were not a business owner because of the results. So that was kind of weird. Did that make sense?
100% made sense. Yeah. It's not about exactly. It's not about what we have and don't have. It's about what we're doing. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And back to limiting beliefs. I know I said two questions, but this just, we can talk all night if you want. There's a book on Amazon. So I had a coaching call today with a new coach and she showed me this book. It's like this thick. For people that aren't watching YouTube, it's like 2 inches thick, and it's called, I think it's called Limiting Beliefs. It's like literally a book of nothing but limiting beliefs. Are you familiar with it?
Mm-mm.
And they're indexed, like it's like basically a dictionary indexed alphabetically of nothing but limiting beliefs. And then it gives you steps how to overcome each limiting belief. And there's like subcategories of limiting beliefs under the limiting beliefs. It was pretty intense, actually.
If we were to record ourselves, I guarantee you, each one of us probably says hundreds of limiting beliefs a day, literally. Oh, yeah. Like I was on a call with a mentor and he gave me a questionnaire and I didn't realize he literally wrote down every limiting belief I shared in that questionnaire. And I was like, what?
Right, like, we don't even realize them.
No, we don't. And not at all. And that's why working with coaches and healers are so important. So we can reflect with one another, right? And if I haven't done my work, I'd be like, that's it. I'm done. I'm not good enough to keep running my business. I have all these limiting beliefs, but I'm like, wait a second. My truth is I'm expanding. Like Thank you, Alyssa, for showing up so honestly with your mentor, because that's what he's there for. And thank you for receiving his feedback and growing from it, not feeling like a failure from it, which is a huge win.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I think that's another thing. When people start to work with clients, with coaches and mentors and healers, the first few sessions, like, we do not show up vulnerably or honest. And even for me, like, I had a 6-month commitment with my first coach. And I think the first month, like, of weekly calls, I was not honest. I was not vulnerable. Even though the first session was around integrity and, like, living in integrity, I still wasn't there yet. And I feel like I wasted a month or two of my services with him because I wasn't vulnerable and I wasn't honest and I wasn't allowing them to do their job of helping me work through the fears of overcoming the limiting beliefs. And it was keeping me from receiving the healing that I needed at the time.
Yes. And again, right, as a human, many of us are like, how do we speak our needs? How do we speak our truths? Like, what kept you from speaking your truth in those moments? What, do you know what was blocking you? Do you feel that there was something that you were maybe fearing that would come to your truth?
I don't think it was fear. I think it was guilt and shame at the time for me. And then he definitely helped me, like, work through the guilt and shame and showed me some exercises, which I coach and help people with as well. So yeah, I really appreciate all your time, Alyssa. This was so beautiful. You dropped so many golden nuggets. I know the listeners are going to receive a ton of value. I'm pretty sure you sparked a few healing journeys today. So thank you.
Thanks.
One thing I want to shout out to all my listeners, to the audience of Wake Up With Wonder. Alyssa was talking about how men need to really step into their healing and kind of answer the call to be leaders. And I'm calling you out, men, like, this is me calling you out to step up, to, you know, go after your healing. I promise you that you're going to actually help to heal others in doing that. And I wanted to say that since I've taken my healing more seriously on level 2 of my Reiki journey, I actually saw a shift in my audience. So on Anchor, it shows you, like, your male and female percentage. And it went from, it was like 52% female and like 16% male. And now it's like 46% female. And I want to say like 33% male. So men, like, I see you guys out there, you guys are growing. Women, keep sharing this with the men. But yeah, this is my shout out to all the men, like, continue to step up and go after your healing as well.
And ladies, do your work, stop depending on the men to do the work for you. Like, do your work. Let the men have a safe space to discover their own self.
So, amen.
We all got to do our work.
Right. We all got to love ourselves.
Yeah.
I frame it that way.
Yeah.
So last question. This question is the same question I ask at the end of every episode. It's brought to you by our last question sponsor of today's episode. It's H&R Soap Co. H&R Soap Co. is a company dedicated to providing clean, all natural healing solutions through soap for people that have allergies, for people that have eczema, people that have psoriasis, or people that just have a sensitivity to smells and just really dry skin. That's what this company is for. H&R Soap Co. is making all natural, healthy, organic soaps. My son has really bad eczema, to the point where it starts off like a penny on his face and it'll grow to the size of a quarter if we don't take care of it. But since he's been using these soaps, like, it's completely gone. It's completely cleared up. And I've started using them and my skin feels like really soft. Like, I've never been one to use lotion or anything, but now, like, I feel like I don't even need lotion. So, yeah. Last question brought to you by H&R Soaps. What is your definition of wonder, Alyssa? What does wonder mean to you?
Wonder means to really discover yourself, discover relationships, and just discover this, like, journey of existing, you know. Be curious, continue to be curious about yourself, and kind of like wondering as the observer, right? Like, not being so serious or critical on yourself, and instead, like, oh, that's interesting. Let me discover a little bit more about that. Or, yeah, not judging others and just, like, being really curious.
I like discovery. Yeah, I've heard curiosity a lot, but I really like discovery. And I like how you related it to the different areas of our life, like discovering more about yourself, discovering about your relationships, about your healing. It just makes me think of, like, I always say, I wonder what's possible. It's kind of what it makes me think of.
Yeah. So. Totally. So much.
Infinite. Beautiful. And with that being said, I'm going to leave it at, I wonder what's possible with your podcast. And anyone who is listening that wants to check it out, where can they find you, Alyssa, to learn more about you and your services and your podcast?
Keep it simple. I'll say Instagram, Alyssa K. Barrios. I mean, hey, Google Alyssa K. Barrios. I'm sure all of my all of my new features on Yahoo will be there. But yeah, and Spotify, Alyssa K. Barrios, She Who Heals. So excited. I'm so excited. If you're a healer, you want to get started on your business, reach out to me. If you're a healer and you want more exposure, reach out to me. Let's get you on the podcast. Let's get you taking up space. Let's talk. Get you talking about the services you offer, because we need them.
And are you only interviewing female healers, or are you interviewing male healers as well?
All of the healers. All of the healers. All of the healers. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Are you going to be doing actual healing on the podcast?
Oh, always. These eyes are filled with Reiki. They're always healing.
I could feel it like coming through the camera. So beautiful. All right, Alyssa. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to cut the episode out. And everyone, go ahead and subscribe, follow, and then make sure to go check out She Who Heals tomorrow on Thursday.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Wake Up With Wonder. If this episode has impacted you, there's a few things we need you to do in order to help us share the gift of wonder and create a wider positive difference. Please spread the word. Tell a friend that you think would benefit from our message. Subscribe or follow on our favorite podcast platform and give the show a 5-star rating along with an honest review. Don't forget to follow at Jason B. Godoy on your favorite social media platforms and use that same tag in your Instagram stories when sharing the show. Your support means the world. Thanks again, and we will see you next time as our personal development journey continues to grow and our sense of wonder for what is possible continues to expand.